Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. And there is just one more game remaining, Sat.
Just one to go.
Yep. They completed the penultimate game yesterday.
Yeah.
Had to get one more penultimate reference in.
Yeah, and at least I don't need to hear that again until September.
Yeah, until the penultimate the preseason game. Look at that. We're already looking ahead to preseason. It's April 15th.
But that's what we have to look forward to. I mean, that's the next Canucks game.
That is pretty much the next Canucks game. Beyond tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. Big show today. John Michael Lyles is going to join us, former NHLer and now analyst with the Colorado Avalanche. Harmon Dial will join us, Dave Babich, and the debutante of last night, Kirill Kudryavtsev, will join us after 5:30 as well today.
Yeah, made his debut, him and Nikita Tolopilo. Both guys looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Tolopilo. I keep saying, so I think you've rubbed off on me in a negative way.
What did I
do? I think I call him Tolopilo, and it's not Tolopilo. Tolopilo, right?
I haven't done anything. Right? Wrong.
It's the most reach thing that Sat says. Tolopilo.
It's Tolopilo. Tolopilo,
why?
Right?
Because I said,
I don't know. You Italianize everything.
How do you mean to
Italianize it? I don't know. Now I'm conscious about it.
I'm blaming Reach on this one.
It's Tolopilo.
The name is Tolopilo.
I don't want to get Tolopilo. Yes.
Tolopilo.
Yeah. I believe in the past I did say Tolopilo.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's just how it
is. It's like, no, it's not
how I read it initially.
It's not fish, okay? It's not tilapia.
Nikita Tolopilo getting his first NHL win last night. Auguri to him. And also auguri to Kirill Kudryavtsev, who we will have later on in the show. That's where we'll start. It's the open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Yes, the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. That's how you get in touch with the show. And the latest being Canucks prospects continue to show pretty well. All things considered, Sat, you know, as we talked about yesterday in the lead up to the debuts of Tolopilo and Kudryavtsev, they would be the 11th players, 10th and 11th players to be rookies for the Vancouver Canucks this year. 16 players have made an appearance for Abbotsford and Vancouver this season, which is pretty impressive as well. Have any of the prospects changed your opinion positively or negatively about their trajectory or their promise?
I think the one that has the most is Linus Karlsson.
In a positive way? Or?
In a positive way. Because, I mean, DPD, we didn't know exactly what to expect, but it seemed like he was on the fast track and he was thought very well thought of, right?
Yes.
Linus Karlsson, we've seen him now here for a few years. Mm-hmm. And you know, before that, he was having some success in Sweden, and he was acquired in that trade for Jonathan Dahlin, of course, some years back. And he kind of seemed like
he broke the rookie record in Sweden for goals scored.
Yeah, in the SHL. And so he did a lot of positive things, but you kind of wondered, okay, can he actually translate it? Then he came over, and it was very evident that he wasn't quick enough and he wasn't strong enough, despite having a pretty big frame, to really make an impact in the NHL. And even what we saw from him in training camp, I was like, okay. You know, he looks okay, but you know, it's kind of what we've seen from Linus Karlsson. I just thought of him as an organizational depth guy who doesn't have a future as an everyday NHLer.
And he's proving you otherwise?
I look at him now, and I'm not saying he's going to, you know, be playing in the top six or the third line next season, but I'm seeing NHL traits that are repeatable and translatable. The way he gets to the net, the way he plays along the boards, his intelligence through the neutral zone too, and you see his ability to play on the power play. He's really good at screening goaltenders as well. And if you're a big body that can do the things he can do and forechecks well, wins along the boards, gets in front of the net, you can play a fourth line role.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I watch him over this stretch, the more he's looking like an NHL forward.
So since getting called up, 13 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, is a plus 4, has a goal on the power play, isn't playing a ton of time, right? Like, we're talking about a little over 10 minutes a night on average. These last few games, he's been getting a little bit more and has been getting a bit more opportunity as he's having some success. So for the season now, up to 3 goals and 3 assists, it's nothing eye-catching, but it feels like a player that you can project for a fourth-line role next year. And if there's more there, then so be it. But you still have to upgrade the roster ahead of him, mm-hmm. but he's showing, I agree, I think he's showing a lot of things that, hey, maybe we could have this guy around, and it's, you know, as our 12th, 13th forward, and, you know, he's a credible guy doing that job.
Yeah, and I think the framing of this question is who has changed your opinion of the player?
Yeah.
Ratu, I think you can be very optimistic about a lot of things that he saw. He has shown.
But there was a higher expectation already for Ratu.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that I did not expect to see. Whereas from Carlson, I'm seeing things I did not expect to see from him. And the fact that he's able to do so, and he plays a physical game too. That's the other part of it. He's not afraid of mixing it up with guys. You mm-hmm. see him get into it in front of the net and along the boards. He doesn't shy away from the physical side of the game too. And with the frame he has, the way he can play, and we know this team needs more size and needs more bite. And I'm not saying he's going to be a guy who's going to be fighting, but he's a guy who's tough to play against.
Yeah.
And if he gets a little bit stronger as well this offseason, and he spoke to us about this on the postgame show last night, that he thinks he can still get it to another level physically, and that's something that Rick Tocchet also spoke about when it comes to him. But he's also a really smart player who's learned some really good technique about playing the right way along the boards, and he spoke about that as well on the postgame show. And if you missed it, you can check it out on the podcast on the Canuck Central feed. But there are a lot of things about his game, and I'll bring his word up again, that is repeatable. And if you can repeat those types of things that are very effective in the NHL, you're going to be an NHL player.
For me, the answer is Elias Pettersson.
Even higher end than you thought?
Exactly. You know, like, I didn't expect him to even make his NHL debut this year, really. Mm. I thought, you know, one full season in the AHL is probably what's welcomed for this player. Like, just let him season up down there and really get ready for NHL action down the road. But, I mean, he's been a more credible option than some of the guys that they were icing earlier in the season. He made it difficult at times to take him out of the lineup, even with 3 guys on the left side like Quinn Hughes. You bring in Marcus Pettersson, Forbert's starting to play well. It's like, well, we still have to find a way to keep this DPD guy in the lineup because he's playing too well right now. He's an NHL player.
Yeah.
We don't have to paper him down for the Abbotsford playoffs because he's an NHL player. And he's earned that. So, like, I never really expected any of those things. And on top of that, you know, now I'm open to the idea that there's more there than a third pair defenseman. I'm open to the idea, like, hey, maybe this guy can be a credible top 4 guy if he continues to work on his game and continue to develop.
I don't disagree with that, and I think that's fair. Bringing it back to Ratu for a moment in comparison to this, and like, he's done a lot of really good things, but he's a guy who was drafted in the second round and for a long time was considered a high-end prospect, the best prospect in the Islander system, albeit a pretty thin prospect pool with the Islanders, but a guy who at his peak had the potential to be a top 6 center.
Mm-hmm.
So if he plays at a level that shows the potential to be a top 6 center, I'm not surprised, because that's what he had. Like, that's a potential we've always known he has. The question is, can he get there and do it consistently, right? With DPD, was the projection ever top 4 defenseman? I guess some would say that, you know, he had that potential, but it was more like, okay, is he going to play NHL games? Maybe a third pair guy, maybe a 4-5. And you're saying, can he be even a 3? Does he move the puck well enough and do things well enough offensively that you think he can be better than a Marcus Pettersson?
Looks like there's enough offensive instincts in there that it's possible. Like, it's in the range of outcomes for his potential.
So the goal last night, the first goal.
Yeah.
You see the way he wheels behind the net as well, uses his speed, and he fends off Will Smith, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's Will Smith, but still, like, he fends him off, uses his speed, dips behind the net, and shoots up the ice, and leads to that great rush, and Linus Karlsson scores. But that's him rushing the puck and being the guy that spearheads it out of his own zone. Can he do those things consistently?
Yeah.
Right? And if he can, and he finds another level, you're right. Like, you're talking about a top four defenseman, potentially speaking. Could he be a number three, potentially? I'm not sure I saw that in Pettersson either, to be honest. And and I'm not saying he's shown he is, but you're seeing enough traits and you're seeing enough qualities that give you the impression that he could get there one day.
Yeah, and, you know, you have your left side locked up pretty well right now, but you have Pettersson coming. You have Kirill Kudryavtsev, who made his debut last night, and Sawyer Mignot. As we've talked about, this might be the area of surplus that you can draw from to acquire something that helps the forward group this summer. But, you know, I'm getting more and more worried about the idea of trading DPD because he looks like a guy who could be pretty good down the road if he continues on this path. Nelson in Kelowna saying, most of the prospects are rocks that you guys are polishing to make look like gold.
Sure. I mean, gold. What do you think gold is? Gold is
we
a
just
top
called
six
Linus
player.
Karlsson a
fourth liner.
Potential, like, you know, depth roster player.
Yeah, and if DPD finds his game, maybe, you know, finds the potential, maybe he's, you know, a second pair defenseman, right? Ratu, if he finds his potential, maybe a top six, mm-hmm. right? But I mean, I don't know if that's gold.
No,
you know, that's
we're
that's really good.
We're not projecting any of these guys to be superstars.
Whatever. I mean,
like, even Lekkerimäki, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this guy's going to, like, score 30 goals every single year for the rest of his career. You know, like, I saw a lot of things that I like out of Jonathan Lekkerimäki. But I think there's a lot still to go for Lekkerimäki, right?
Yeah, Vilander has potential. But yeah, of course. But I mean,
Lekkerimäki has potential to be a nice goal scorer. Vilander has high potential to be a top four player as well, but probably not an offensive producer from the back end. But you need those pieces too. Those guys still have the best trajectory of any prospect within the organization.
Yeah, so
outside of the guys, you know, that are playing right now. Sure.
Yeah. So I'd say Vilander, Lekkerimäki, DPD, they're your three most high end prospects, right? Who comes in at number four? Is it Ratu?
Yeah, it's probably Ratu.
Right? And Ratu, again, you know, he's played well. Like, he's done a lot of good things the last little bit, but he's still playing 11 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's shown some abilities. He's got 11 points, 7 goals, 4 assists. He's winning faceoffs, right? And he won, was it over 60% last night? He's at 58% on the season.
Yeah.
Like, faceoffs, we knew. I mean, even going back to the Islanders, he was winning 54% of the faceoffs.
Yeah, even so, training camp this year, you knew he was a good faceoff guy.
Yeah, so the faceoffs have always been there. The point production's been pretty solid the last little while, but he's playing, you know, a smaller role down the lineup. Right? Like, he hasn't shown he's a top six player. He's showing you some peaks. At the end of the day, what is Ratu most likely to be? A third line center at best? That's probably the most likely outcome. Like, you know, we talked about this the other day and said, if you color code the potential for each player, mm-hmm. he does have top six potential, but do I color it in green or do you color it in, you know, orange or amber or yellow or something? You know, that's not quite at the higher end of that potential. And that's how I see Atu Ratu. And that's still really good. So you might view those players as rocks, sure,
yeah.
perhaps, but there's still players that can play valuable roles for you. And I think there have been enough positives from these players that you should be encouraged by at least having some pieces that can help this franchise moving forward. It doesn't change the offseason, of course. You have to find top six players. Like, nothing changes the offseason, but all we can do is talk about the players who are playing. Right now,
well,
they had like 10 rookies playing last night.
The way that it changed the offseason is that you don't necessarily, like, you don't really have to worry about defense too much.
No. I mean, outside of signing a depth guy, maybe, because you probably want to have a veteran depth guy in the fold.
Like, given that you feel pretty good about DPD and Mancini, and you've still got guys beyond that, like Cole McWard and Kudryavtsev, who's now made his debut. You still have other guys, like, beyond those young players that can come up, potentially next year. So you might just have to sign one veteran type to play a 6-7 type role,
yeah,
or 7-8 type role on your NHL roster. And so you can go into the offseason not – that's the one thing that prospects I think have changed, because DPD has come along so well, mm-hmm, that you don't have to worry even about signing a third pair defenseman so much for next year, because you feel comfortable about Elias Pettersson playing in that role.
And can you use that surplus to acquire something else you need?
Yeah.
There just isn't enough room for the left-handed defenseman.
No.
Now, we spoke about DPD a lot, and is he a player that, you know, you would consider moving, because you have Hughes in front of him, you have Marcus Pettersson signed for 6 more years beyond this season. But the way he's played,
yeah,
and the more he shows, like, he's a very hard player to part with, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's say you keep DPD. Where is Kudryavtsev going to play long term? Where is Sawyer Minnu going to play long term? Now, obviously, you need depth as well, but you get to a point where waivers become a issue. So it's like, if this player has value before you get to the point where you have to find out, do you hold on to him for organizational depth for a year or two, mm-hmm, before it becomes irrelevant because he'll be waiver eligible, or do you use that asset to cash in? I think that's going to be the question, but down the lineup, they're not going to have the same type of value either, right?
You might have to cash in this summer, one of these prospects.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see.
Unfortunately, that's the unfortunate reality the Canucks find themselves.
Yeah, but it's a positive, though, because you had DPD, you had Kudryavtsev, you have Minnu as well. Now it looks like at least DPD is going to be a player. And Kirill, who we'll talk about, we'll talk to coming up later in the show, he, you know, showed some positives the other night, but look at the meteoric rise he's been on. 2022, 7th round pick.
Yeah.
Just played in the NHL, mm-hmm, in 2025, 3 years later.
Yeah. Was in and playing with the Sioux Greyhounds in the OHL playoffs this time last year. And one full year with Abbotsford, and he's earned himself an NHL call. Now, I know, like, hey, you know, some funky characters got to play NHL games, right? Like Mark, mm-hmm, Michaelis played an NHL game for the Vancouver Canucks. Josh Tevez got into a game. You know, so some random players, guys that never really had NHL potential, ended up playing games for this team. But that's not the case with somebody like Kudryavtsev, who has over 20 points in the AHL as a rookie this year, even though he was a 7th round draft choice not too long ago. Like, that's, we're talking about different types of prospects and guys getting put into games at the end of lost seasons.
Kudryavtsev got the opportunity because he earned the opportunity.
Yes.
And if they were just going to play somebody, they could have played Wolanin. They could have brought a veteran up.
Yeah.
Hirose's played NHL games. My point being, there were other guys that could have given the games to. It wasn't like Kudryavtsev was the only healthy left-handed defenseman and they had to bring him up.
Yeah.
Like, he was rewarded with getting this game. He earned this game. And you earn opportunities when injuries happen because you're the first guy in line, right? Yeah. Now, DPD was ahead of him. He got in, but he earned the look. It wasn't just gifted to him, right? You're not just giving guys minutes because you don't have anybody else. Like, he's getting a chance because he's earned it. What does he do with it long term? That's going to be the question. And I see people mentioning, like, you know, the team should have not traded for Marcus Pettersson. And I think if you look at it long term, you can look at it and say, well, you have DPD, you have Hughes. You know, why lock in and trade for somebody who's a top four guy? As good as DPD is, is he ready to play 20 minutes a game? Is he ready to play in all difficult situations and play the shutdown role, be the first guy out to play on the PK? Probably not. Like, that might take a couple years to get there.
Yeah.
So, like, I think you needed a veteran.
Well, now, if you're trying to be a realistic, like, team that pushes for the playoffs and wants to do damage, you can't. It's hard to take those risks and find out as you go.
Now, whether it was Pettersson or not, you still needed somebody to be ahead of Pettersson until he developed into that. And for a defenseman, it can take a little while. Like, he's been on a great rise. It looks really good right now. Next year might be a bit of a plateau year for him, where it doesn't go the way you hope. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to become that top four defenseman. But he may take a few years to get there. And I think as much as I'm excited about these guys, and I think the guys are a bit older, like, Ratu looks like, could he be on the verge of doing a bit more? Linus Karlsson's like 27. Like, you know, is that going to be the time he breaks through and becomes what he's supposed to be, so to speak? But DPD, Lekkerimäki, and some of these other guys, it's going to take years for them to hit their potential still.
Getting to the Canucks Central Roundup, team day off for Vancouver as they will get set for their finale against the Vegas Golden Knights. That is tomorrow at Rogers Arena. Canucks will be hosting Fan Appreciation Night. The 50-50 is guaranteed to be $1 million jackpot. I got a ticket last night. I might get another ticket tomorrow night, Sad.
You should.
Sure. I mean, why not?
Why not? I mean, it carries over.
Yeah.
So we didn't realize that last night. So you doubled up again.
Yeah. I've already got some tickets. I might have to get more tickets.
Yes.
In the lead
it's
up.
$1 million.
To tomorrow's game. Over a guaranteed at least $1 million jackpot for the final game of the season. And despite reports from our Monday insider, Frank Saravalli, a Tom Volander signing has still not yet happened with the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, it hasn't yet happened. Man, we got excited for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Frank maintains it's going to get done. And, you know, I checked in on it last night, too. I haven't heard anything that suggests he's not going to sign.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean he's going to sign today, tomorrow, the next few days? I don't know. Is he going to sign in time to play in the AHL playoffs? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get the sense that this is something that's going to lead to, you know, the two sides, really falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess until he signs, you always kind of wonder about those sort of things, right?
Yeah. I know our friend of the show, Irfan Ghaffar, reported that, you know, he doesn't think it's from a lack of trying for the Canucks, and it's mostly at this point in time. Just a personal decision on Tom Volander.
I think that might be part of it. I do still believe, though, that some of the bonus stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, Bick made a good point. He brought up the comparables for players drafted and then defensemen drafted like him and the types of, you know, Schedule A bonuses they get. And, yeah, like, they don't get a lot. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of guys like Axel Sandin-Palicka got a bit more. Now, he was drafted a bit later, too.
Yes.
So maybe that makes things a bit more muddied. But, it makes sense that I think you should figure it out. But it makes sense that if he's asking for something that nobody's getting at that point, that it's going to create a little bit of, friction. I don't know if friction is the right word, but it's going to require negotiating. Let me just put it that way, right?
Yeah, it's a curious situation. I don't think there's any way around that thought. All right, coming up, John Michael Lyles is going to join us. Avalanche setting up for the playoffs. Their season is done. They're home and cooled out, and they're getting ready to welcome back Gabriel Landeskog as well. Are they the best in the West? The number one team. We'll talk to John Michael Lyles next on Canuck Central.